What is jazz, and where does blues fit in? One of the world's greatest blues artists was not born in the early 20th century, nor did he grow up in the Mississippi Delta. He's Rick Fiennes, and his work was a major discovery of mine and will be of yours, even just hearing his music once. Rick was indeed influenced early on by the soulful lower Mississippi blues sound and delivers his own unique version of it, as if he was born there. Yet his own writing and delivery is definitely today. I'm Paul Kellogg. Please join us on the next Blue Nose Opera House radio show with unbelievable Rick Fiennes.
We have no script for opening the Blue Nose Opera House, so I'll simply say, direct from the blues capital of North America, we have, in our studio, live, which is the only way to be, Rick Fiennes.
Hey, Paul.
One of the great blues artists of the 20th and 21st centuries is with us in the studio. He's amazing, and if you've heard his music, you know exactly what we're talking about. If you haven't, you're in for a huge treat, and we're going to go at it in as many ways as we can. But to give you a chance to warm up the chair, Rick, and it's great having you here, let's kick it off with the Bear McNeils.
Well,
the energy. That's a Lindsey Buckingham song called Secondhand News. Barry McNeil's from Cape Breton. A couple of capers in there. You've been on the road a lot and coming down our neck of the woods, South Shore. How often do you get here, Rick?
Well, the last few years I've been coming here a lot, actually. We've been here the last 4 years. Every fall.
Where were you born?
I was born in Peterborough, Ontario.
You didn't move much, did you?
I moved to Toronto a few times thinking I had to and kept moving home.
There's a draw there, is there? It's a bit like Nova Scotia. I tell people we have magnets in the road, so whether you're born here, visited here, passing through, you're going to come back. It seems to work that way.
Well, I also believe that as time goes by, as you get older, you've imprinted something into your retina, and it might be granite and pine trees and lakes, and you need to have it. It's the aesthetic you require to continue going on.
That part of the DNA?
I think it becomes that.
Tell us about your early family, your parents.
My mom raised us for the most part during my part. My father, I'm the second youngest of five children. So my father left when I was about 8 years old, but he wasn't around a lot for a mm-hmm. few years before that. Mm-hmm. So I had an exceptional mom who, she was just the greatest. She's my mom. She was the greatest woman on the planet. What can I say?
Was there ever a stepdad in your life or someone that you became close to, or an uncle? Relative?
My brothers are 6 and 7 years older than me, but they were brothers. And no, not really a stepdad, no.
Were you competitive with your brothers? I had two older brothers.
I'd say I avoided competition. Both of my brothers were musicians. Both of them played music. My one brother still is and plays on all my albums. He's always on there for a song. Mm-hmm. And so I play instruments he doesn't play. He's a superior musician to me, so I would avoid it rather than compete with him.
Oh, I don't believe that. Modesty, it's got to be false, because I got a story to tell the folks later on about you.
Well, we've just gone different directions as well. You know, he plays banjo and lap-style dobro and pedal steel, and I don't really play any of those instruments.
What kind of kid were you when you were small and growing up? Did you play much? Did you get into sports?
Yeah, I was quite athletic when I was young. I remember coming home quite proudly with all the ribbons on the front of my T-shirt from the track and field day and that sort of thing, and loved to run, loved to play basketball, cycle.
In school, what interest? Any extracurricular activities or art, excel in music or band?
I think I loved everything right up until about grade 8. And then I got caught in some sort of cynicism and stopped liking school and only wanted to go home and play music and shoot hoops.
Won't go near that. You have, in fact, this is the first time it's ever happened where we had a musician in. We have artists and writers and newspaper editors and those other creative souls. But it's the first time we've ever had anybody submit a music list without their own music. So I had to do something. I had to cover your butt and mine too. I had to take some of my choices. And if the folks don't know this who are listening, half the music is provided by the guest co-host, whether they're a musician or not. The other half, so it's not top heavy or too Kellogg, but the other half is provided by me to really balance the maritime bass music and what people love, even artists passing through.
Great.
So many of my choices happen to be by an artist named Rick Fiennes, who I think you know a little bit. And this first song is I Just Got Back. And that's from an earlier album, isn't it?
Yeah, that was recorded twice. It was recorded on Arcadia and Live at the Harvest.
Well, I just got back, and that is to say that I've been trying to push my blues away. Oh, but I pushed you away instead. I was talking all out of my head. See, I've been on some kind of a trip, but I just got back. And you've been so good to me while I've been blue. Seem to understand I have been going through, and all now things are looking up, and I'm no longer so down on my luck. See, I've been on some kind of a trip, but I just got back.
Live at the Harvest, Rick Fines and Friends. Yeah, we've just roared through this, Rick. You want to get us out of here?
We've barreled through our first segment, and now we're getting ready for the second. We salute our Cape Breton station, The Coast, at 89.7 in Glace Bay, Nova Scotia. We're one family on the Blue Nose Opera House radio network.
Segment two, Rick Fines, Blues. Genius, how does it feel so far?
I'm dumbfounded. I don't know anything about genius.
Oh, here we go. I was talking about the show, not the genius of the show, but just getting into it and having fun with it. All right, take a breath. The song is beyond compelling. It's Katie Lang. I chose it for the guitar work in it, but also there's just something red hot and sexy about pulling back the reins.
Out of nowhere, this gust of wind. I'm
Katie Lang. Love that. And the feel of it, Pulling Back the Reins, she wrote with Ben Mink. So, Rick, when you were a kid, did you listen to radio much?
Yeah, I had a crystal radio set that I bought at a Radio Shack. Mm-hmm. Tandy leather, it was, I think, at the time.
Tandy, yeah.
And I assembled that thing, and I strung that line out into a tree out of my bedroom window. When I was told to go to bed, I went and put the headphones on and listened to that.
How many people in our age group, or and you're younger, but still, when transistors came out and they got smaller and smaller and compact, would sneak them under the pillows? And then did you see how many stations you could pull in at night?
Yeah, that thing was amazing, that crystal radio. Once it got to be nighttime, yeah, I was listening to, from Peterborough, Ontario, I was listening down to Buffalo a lot and Rochester.
WHAM.
Yeah, loved that stuff.
Boston WBZ, I don't know if you'd get that.
Didn't ever get Boston.
WOWO in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Wheeling, West Virginia. All the big 50,000, what they call clear channel stations. CFRB was that. And when I was doing all nights there, I'd get calls from Nunavut and from Nova Scotia. And on Sunday night, WINS in New York at 1010, same place on the dial, would go off for 2 hours of transmitter repair, maintenance. And I'd get a call from a guy I used to work with in radio, blind announcer named Steve Pacell. And Steve would call me and he'd say, "Where the heck are you? You're just blasting through here like you're in the next room." Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're 50,000 watts clear channel. We'd be blasting through. Muddy Waters, I'd like to talk about that. He was one of your influences. How did you get into blues specifically? You probably danced to rock and roll when you were growing up and maybe listened to country music.
Well, I think like a lot of North American, certainly a lot of Canadian musicians, blues artists, I went in the back door through the Rolling Stones and John Mayall and the Blues Breakers. And after getting turned on to the British stuff, I sought out where it came from, and Muddy Waters was where it came from, and that's where, you know, where the Rolling Stones got their name from, and
Rolling Stone magazine.
And Rolling Stone magazine.
Now, you know how he got his name.
Muddy Waters.
Yeah.
Yeah, from being a little kid going and playing in the murky, muddy waters of the Mississippi, and his mama called him Little Muddy Waters.
Well, it was his grandmother who brought him up. Ah. Shortly after he was born, his mother died. So his grandmother brought him up, and yeah, he'd play in a little brook that fed into the Mississippi in Muddy Waters. And it turns out, and Dave probably knows this, that there's a Beatles song that refers also to his influence, and it's Come Together.
Really?
Yeah, and they mentioned him in one of the lyrics. I should have written it down. So, yeah, you said that Rolling Stone, because he had a song called Rollin' without the G, Rollin' Stone. Yeah. And that was an early song. And he went to Chicago and started playing the clubs. What we're going to do is ask you to introduce McKinley Morganfield. Muddy Waters said that amplification was the link between blues and rock and roll. I hadn't known that. And that the electric guitar that somebody gave him or suggested he use allowed him to rise above the crowd noise in the jumping Chicago clubs, because people go in there to drink and talk and laugh and yell, and they often couldn't hear the musicians. So it was the electric guitar that he started using that made sure that the patrons are going to hear what he was playing.
Indeed, and really, the father of rock and roll is definitely Muddy Waters, because he put together a band with two electric guitars, bass, and drums for the first time ever.
Thank you. rock and roll.
Muddy Waters. Yeah, that feels good. And Blues Had a Baby, and they called it Rock and Roll is the long formal title to that. McKinley Morganfield was his name, Muddy Waters. And we've wrapped up another segment, Mr. Fiennes.
One of the best radio stations on anyone's dial. This is The Coast, 89.7 Glace Bay. Mm-hmm. It's an exceptional community station that now has become a big part of the family here on the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
Rick Fiennes, one of the great musicians in the world, not Canadian, but world, so you better get used to that or enjoy listening to Ray Charles. We brought in, and this is a different song you may not hear too often, called Living Without You.
Living without you doesn't matter to me. Don't have to miss a single show on TV. No one to tell me I should straighten my tie. And finally I'm carefree. There's just no end to all the things I can do without you, baby. Yes, there's much more room, girl, without you. No one to wake me when I'm sleeping too late. No one to tell me how I need to lose weight. No one to try and fool around with my dreams. Where life's gonna be less confused. My friends all tell me I'll be happier soon without you. Someday soon, babe, without you. Started out with such a flair, such a perfect pair. It was paradise, at least for a while. Now that you mention it, there's not much to do without you. I'm kind of blue, girl. Started out with such a flair, such a perfect pair. It was paradise, at least for a while. Now that you mention it, it's just not much to do. Hands in my pocket, staring down at my shoes. Is here lately, I'm getting kind of blue without you. Do you hear me? I don't know what to do without you. Girl, I'm kind of blue.
mellow side, bluesy side of Ray Charles. That's called Living Without You. Johnny Mandel's song, by the way. Rick Fiennes, you're on the go so much. And if it's not just on tour, it's teaching and then it's out to the woodshed to write music and dig around in what's between the ears for inspiration and or to put it onto paper the inspiration you have. And we'll talk about that. Do you have any positive memories from school? You kind of hit a wall, I guess, after grade eight, you said.
Oh, I loved school up until then. And then, I don't know, I think, you know, when adolescence kicked in, I just wanted to do physical things, you know. I wanted to work. I would dig with a shovel and I'd be happy. I needed to do physical stuff, and it was difficult for me to sit still in school, and I needed to know a practical application for everything. So, but I loved school right up until around then, and really, I would have loved it if I had just been allowed to go out and work for a year and appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Did you have teachers, and sometimes it happens to me, where I'll think of an exceptional teacher or a quote, something they said that taught us that maybe wasn't even related to the subject, but more related to life and coping, or neighbors or godparents or somebody who just was a huge influence in your early life and you still think about today?
I think I've been lucky to be surrounded by people like that. Because you brought up teachers, I'll say that Egon Morrell was the art teacher at PCVS, Peterborough Collegiate. And I always enjoyed his class. He was just so honest and down to earth. And again, it was completely practical. You go in there and you work on art, and you see what you're getting done. It wasn't abstracted. Also, you know, he just talked about life all the time and saying, you know, go out and enjoy yourself. Do what you want to do. He came to Cape Cod every year to paint watercolors. And that's what he did for his holidays. And that was his fulfillment.
Who are some of the people that you've worked with in life who stand out with you? I know one major, along with your brother, is Alec Fraser.
Alec's a great guy and a really great friend. And we've co-produced all my albums except for the one I did with Colin Linden, and Alec played on that one. So we work together great. We've got a great rapport, and he's a brilliant musician. I know I can trust him when I'm going the wrong direction.
Are there artists that you've jammed with just casually or that you bumped into at gigs or festivals that you maybe were surprised as to the chemistry that happened or things that you worked out with them?
Yeah, and you know, I think it's a lot of the time. It becomes surprised, I don't know. Paul Pagat, for instance, is here at the Lunenburg Folk Harbor Festival that I'm playing at this weekend. And he and I meet on the West Coast every year or two. We bump into each other and end up the same event, Hornby Island Blues Workshop. And I'm crazy about his playing. He and I just seem to like all the same things. It's like we're brothers, long lost brothers or something.
You have done an album with Susie Vinnick. You often tour together. Great team. And both of you love blues. And she can do ballads and blues and, of course, great commercials too, thanks to Tim Hortons. Mm-hmm. But and she's got a sense of humor, as do you. How did you meet Susie?
Well, I met Susie when I went to go and meet up with my buddy Chopper McKinnon, a radio personality and all-around personality in Ottawa. We would always meet up for a drink every time I was playing in Ottawa. And when I went to see him, before I sat down, he said, "You don't want to be here. You want to be three doors downstairs into the basement. There's a little club there. You want to meet the bass player."
Wow.
So I went there, and there was this woman playing bass more aggressively than I'd ever seen a woman play bass before. And then she stepped up to the microphone to sing, and that was it for me. I was standing there waiting when she came off the stage to say, "How do I play music with you?"
One of my favorite songs off this album was and is "How'd You Know I Missed You?" And it turns out it was in your set on the main stage at Folk Harbor. How'd that come about?
Susie was on her way up to my cabin, and we were going to do some writing. And it was her turn to bring some ideas because I had brought the song ideas, the beginnings of the songs the last couple of times. And so I was looking forward to seeing what she had. And she calls me up to say she's running a little late and that she had an idea. She was talking to her brother, and when she called him, he said, "How'd you know I missed you? I was just thinking about you." And she said, "I don't know, something slow and old-timey." And she got off the phone because she was driving, and I could hear it already. I could already hear the song in my head.
How'd you know I missed you, my love, my darling, at this particular time? How'd you know I miss you, baby? Did you read my mind? Did you hear a sigh in the evening breeze? Or is it chance that's all? Or how'd you know I missed you, baby? What made you think to call?
Alone I lay awake and thought of your sweet face, thought of all the joy you bring me, stared at the phone and daydreamed, wondering will you ring me. As I lay there, my heart felt so happy. I pictured you in your home. I so hoped that you'd be there. When I reached out and dialed the phone, hear a sigh.
I thought I heard a sigh.
How'd you know I miss you?
Love that tune, Rick Fine's Susie Vinnick, and How'd You Know I Missed You. It just has that old sound, but it rolls. It has a wonderful feel. And guess what?
What's that?
Time to call it a day for this segment again. You got the last word.
All right. Well, if you're listening to us anywhere in Southeast Cape Breton and Eastern Nova Scotia mainland, it's because you're tuned to the Coast, 89.7 Glace Bay, a big part of the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
Rick Fine's in the studio with us, one of the great blues artists that you could ever encounter. And we're not throwing any curves this afternoon as we're taping this because we're not doing Stump the Chump. I'm traditionally the chump. We're not doing any classified ads for sale, things for sale. We're just doing the show because it's been too long waiting to get you in here with your schedule. We are so happy that it's finally happening. So we're going to turn it over to you and your music and ask you to introduce No Expectations. You didn't write this.
No, No Expectations is written by Keith Richard and that other fellow, Mick Jagger.
With the big lips.
Yeah, that's the guy. I think this is the tie between that British blues and the authentic blues. And here they've nailed it. It's a beautiful blues song by Mick and Keith.
No, it's not. It's by Rick Fines.
Take me to the station
and put me on a train. I got no expectations to pass through here again. Well, once I was a rich man, and now I am so poor. But never in my sweet life have I felt like this before. Your heart is like a diamond, and throw your pearls at swine. And as I watch you leaving me, you pack my peace, my peace of mind. Well, our love is like the water that splashes on a stone. Our love is like our music. Well, it's here and then, it's gone. To pass through here again.
Rick Fiennes and his version of the Stones' No Expectations. You know how things are rolling well in a show like this is when the very predictable guy does something unpredictable and doesn't reach for his coffee that he's addicted to until at least segment three. You have connections to the Maritimes, and I think specifically to Cape Breton now, don't you?
Yeah, well, my wife is a McGillivray from Cape Breton on her father's side.
A lot of talented McGillivrays in Cape Breton, songwriters and musicians.
Indeed.
Festivals, have you cover the gamut in most North American festivals and beyond?
Certainly the Canadian ones, the folk festivals and a lot of the blues festivals and jazz festivals. There's still more to do, and I haven't got near enough of the U.S. ones yet.
Can you tell us about some of the festivals? When you arrive at one, whether it's the first time or number two or beyond, is there a special feeling that each one has by the kind of welcome you get, the atmosphere of the area, the musicians who are gathered? I guess they're all different, though, too, because even like Folk Harbor, every time there's a gathering, it's a different mix and a different jam.
And different people in the audience. And I think that this coming together in Canadian festivals especially, where you have workshop stages where people are put together not so much to instruct, but they call them workshops, but really they're just meant for people to play together who ordinarily wouldn't. And that's one of my favorite things about the Canadian festivals, is because suddenly you're thrown together with people you've never played with before and something happens spontaneously.
What are the festival highlights that you can remember? Which ones?
Oh boy, I think back to playing, was it Winnipeg or Edmonton, with getting a workshop with Willie P. Bennett and just having such an incredible time, being thrown together with you know, people that you haven't played with very much before. Michael Jerome Brown, I absolutely adore that man and his music, and had great times playing with him. Really, it's festivals that have introduced even people like Colleen Peterson, who is a neighbor and friend of mine. That's really how we got together in the first place.
Isn't it interesting how music can be a fusion, such as blues and rock and roll? It can be a crossover or have a bridge. I think festivals are the same way, and I've apologized to, for example, Folk Harbor. First one I attended was in 03, and Kathy said, we have to go to Folk Harbor. And I said, you know what? I've kind of had my fill for now of the regurgitated 60s folk music, so I don't care to. Well, she wanted to go, so I said, all right, we'll do it. And there we found you. We found kick-ass folk music by Tanglefoot. We found blues. We found some Celtic rock and folk traditional Newfoundland. Zydeco. It was all over the highway, but yet it was a wonderful, rich, not disorganized, but rich mixture of traditions and music. And one has to keep an open mind. And I hope that if people think, oh, blues festival, I'm not into blues, it's amazing what you're going to find there, or a folk music festival.
And, you know, so much of it comes down to who is the programmer and what is their vision. And, you know, when you get a festival like the Folk Festivals of Canada that have the workshop conditions, you end up in things, you know, I'm still going through my mind that last question of yours, Paul, because I'm thinking about the time that we were put together with this woman, I don't even know the name of the instrument, a Chinese woman playing a single string instrument with a bow. And it was the most haunting and gorgeous. It was a violin at times. It was a theremin at times. It was absolutely incredible. And we couldn't even speak to each other because we had no common language except music. And it was astonishing. And another time being put together in a group with, in a workshop group with a group called Fruit from Australia. And it's three women and, they were such phenomenal singers. They were making up backup harmony parts, weaving through the words of my songs. And one of them was a brilliant multi-instrumentalist and went through at least three different instruments in a single song, as if we had been rehearsing for months.
Next tune, you didn't write, but you have a connection to it. So we're not going to formally introduce it, except it'll be very familiar to you.
Take me to the station and put me on a train. I've got no expectations to pass through here again. Once I was a rich man, now I am so poor, but never in my sweet short life have I felt like this before. Your heart is like a diamond. You throw your pearls at swine, and as I watch you leaving me, you pack my peace of mind.
it's here and then it's gone. So take me to the airport and put me on a plane. I've got no expectations to pass through here again.
Very different sound, too, for the Rolling Stones. No Expectations. And as you mentioned, Rick Fiennes, the bridge between blues and rock and roll. It's been great having you here. This is podcast number 82 on our website, bluenoseoperahouse.ca, where you can hear it again or any of our other 81 shows. You can see pics, blogs, read bios, and check the links. I'm Paul Kellogg, along with Rick Fiennes, saying thank you for joining us. We'd love to hear from you via email or snail mail. Post Office Box 1768, same year as my birth. Lunenburg, Nova Scotia, B0J2C0. Now, don't touch that dial.